Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We have such a short gospel from Matthew today. In a nutshell, the three verses tell us to welcome others. Isn't that ingrained in all churches today that we need to be welcoming? We have our welcome statement right in the front of the worship folder. We assign greeters to man the door. We arm ushers with worship folders that are user-friendly. We have fellowship time after worship. We make sure that our building is accessible and that our bathrooms are clean. Did you notice the new signs along Old Springville Road and Deerfoot Parkway? They say, welcome. We got this, right? Isn't there anything else in the gospel today? Maybe. First, welcoming others into our space and our congregation is but one reading of this text. And we can never, ever remind ourselves often enough of the need to welcome. A National Public Radio story aired back in January about a cathedral in Coventry, England, that was destroyed by bombs in 1940 during the war. A new cathedral was built from the ruins with a mission, not for revenge, but to work for peace and reconciliation, to work with others to build a kindler, more Christ-child-like world. This cathedral still holds firm to that mission almost 80 years later. And to aid their mission of extreme peace and reconciliation, they have a rather unique welcome statement hanging on their front door. Some of you may have heard this before. We talked about it in the Wednesday night study, and it's also made its rounds through social media. The welcome statement reads, "We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, widowed, straight, gay, confused, well-heeled, or down at heel. We especially welcome wailing babies and excited toddlers. We welcome you whether you can sing like Pavarotti or just growl quietly to yourself. You're welcome here if you're just browsing, just woken up, or just out of prison. We don't care if you're more Christian than the Archbishop of Canterbury or haven't been to church since Christmas 10 years ago. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome keep fit moms, football dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, and junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems, are down in the dumps, or don't like organized religion. We offer welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or are here because Granny is visiting and wanted to come to the cathedral. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, both, or neither. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down their throats as kids, or got lost on the ring road and wound up here by mistake. We welcome pilgrims, tourists, seekers, doubters, and you." If you Google this statement, you might be surprised at the amount of media attention this one welcome statement has received. A truly welcoming statement is still big news, even in 2017. Truly welcoming all is not as easy as saying all are welcome. But welcoming all into our space is not the only message that's in the text today. There's perhaps a not so obvious message there as well. Yes, we can start our discipleship by welcoming all when they come into this place, but we are also sent out into the world to tell others about Christ. We can't always wait for them to come to us. We, like the disciples, must welcome people where they are. This is the third Sunday in a row that we've been talking about the sending of the disciples. Jesus commissions them, sends them out to cure the sick and to cast out the evil demons. He tells them to proclaim and live out the coming of the kingdom of God. And he warns them that they may be persecuted for their message, but promises that if they endure, they will be rewarded richly. So the disciples are sent out into the world, as are we. But here's the kicker today. When we are sent, we don't only represent ourselves, but we are gifted with the authority and the ability to represent Jesus. Jesus tells the disciples, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." As part of the training to be a Lutheran pastor, candidates are required to serve as hospital chaplains through a program called CPE, which stands for Clinical Pastoral Education. At the Catholic hospital I served, chaplains were required to visit each patient at least once during their stay. It didn't matter if that patient was a Christian or even whether the patient had requested a visit. Chaplains knocked on every single door and greeted all patients in the name of Christ. New interns, fortunately, were trained before being set loose on the hospital patient floors. And in that training, interns were told that we are not by ourselves when we enter that hospital room. God is in that room before we enter, while we are there, and after we leave. God and all the saints before and the saints now and the whole church on earth was standing right there with us. We were sent as disciples in the name of Christ to represent more than ourselves. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And there is both responsibility and comfort in that message. Responsibility because Christ is visible in us. And comfort, too, because I know that I could not have entered some of those rooms by myself. By myself, I do not have the ability to minister to all patients, to say the words or hold the silence, or pray the prayer that will open up space for God's peace and God's healing. I need God right there with me, and God promises to do just that. And that is pure grace and comfort. But Jesus goes on to tell the disciples that although they represent more than themselves, all it takes to welcome another is a cup of cold water. That's it. God can work and does work through us in something as small as a cup of water. Win Our World, or WOW, is an urban ministry at St. John's Lutheran Church in downtown Knoxville. The middle and high school youth drag an old rusty red wagon under the bridges on Main Street, where some 400 homeless every single afternoon wait for the shelters to open. And on that wagon, there is an enormous pot of ice water, a dipper, and some plastic cups. And these kids meet the homeless face to face, skin to skin, giving cups of water to those who spend their days on the street. The youth make Christ visible in a cup of water. A guy I met in seminary was low on funds, but frequently asked for handouts as he lived on through the streets of Atlanta. And he now carries a case of water in his car, and he hands out bottles to those who he meets. He makes Christ visible in a bottle of water. We're going to open our doors here at Faith to the community on July 17th for Vacation Bible School. We don't know the story of every child, and we don't have to. But we too can make Christ visible for each and every child. With a cup of water, literally, but also a smile, a safe space for them to spend each evening, and by telling them that Jesus loves them over and over and over and over again until they get it. Making Christ visible doesn't mean that we have to change the world. That's not our job. That's God's job. But God is at work in us and through us when we smile at someone on the street, give school supplies to a child in need, thank the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, pray for someone, stand up for an injustice, or go beyond welcoming to actually include. A guy I know starts each day with 4 quarters in his left pocket. And he challenges himself every single day to move those 4 quarters from his left pocket to his right pocket. He can move a quarter each time he shares a cup of water with someone that day. Each time Christ is visible through him. Try it this week. God has gifted us with the authority and the ability, and we can do this. Thanks be to God.